hang 'em high. My senator just voted yes to pass the Brady Bill. He thinks if he can take my guns, it's him that won't be killed. He doesn't give a hang about the crime he helps create, as long as bribes keep coming in. Americans can wait. Yippee-yi-yo, yippee-yi-way. Vengeance is on the way. It's time we hang 'em, hang 'em, hang 'em, till their toes are dangling. Stretch those traitors' necks, hang 'em high. Let's use old-fashioned justice. Go out and get a rope and hang 'em high. Check 'em out, size 'em up, hook 'em up, find 'em out. If they're in, vote 'em out. If they're out, hunt 'em down. Drag 'em into the court, every traitor a sword. Use your vote like a rope, hang 'em high. Hang 'em high.
And good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers here on Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network. This February 7th, 2026.
You're all going to learn a new term.
We'll be right back right after this song. Stay tuned.
Now listen closely. Can all of you say constructive fraud?
Constructive fraud.
Did you ever get the feeling as you're staring at the ceiling that this game of life is playing fair? Seems as fast as we can make it, there's a hand that grabs and takes it till they plant us in a grave somewhere. Like a rodent on a treadmill, we keep pushing for it uphill, but we never seem to get too far. Well, if you think you're being taken, then you're ready to awaken to the truth of what we really are. We're all indentured servitudal slaves, overburdened and our soul posterity through ignorance and apathy, and now we're being taxed out of our graves. And as long as we stay passive, we'll succumb, contented with some socialistic crumb. Well, the naked truth and fact is we're all saps who pay our taxes, and that is keep us dumb. Could the state of our condition be the product of omission, what we didn't learn in public schools? And did our fathers all through history all fight and die for liberty so we could play the tyrant's fools? And can you call it education when it's all indoctrination to obey the hidden powers that be? Did we fight the revolution? Did we win the world wars just to slumber into slavery? We're all indentured servitudal slaves, overburdened and bewildered feudal knaves, who have lost our soul posterity through ignorance and apathy, and now we're being taxed out of our graves. And as long as we stay passive, we'll succumb, contented with some humanistic crumb. Well, the naked truth and fact is we're all saps who pay those taxes, and that is why the banksters keep us dumb. While Franklin and Eleanor were telling us they hated war, they made a deal behind our backs. They said the bankers could enslave us for a portion of our wages, and today we call it income tax. But what they failed then to tell us was the way they planned to sell us into statutory slavery. Now it's called constructive fraud. Some even claim the wrath of God. I call it social insecurity. Let's stop being indentured servitudal slaves, overburdened and bewildered feudal knaves, and reclaim our lost posterity. Rise up and proclaim liberty. It's high time we rock the boat and make some waves, 'cause as long as we stay passive, we'll succumb. They'll starve us on their communistic crumb. And the naked truth and fact is, we don't have to pay those taxes. Yes, it's time we show those banksters, those international gangsters. So let's turn the tables and spoil all their fun.
That's all.
And we're back, and you're listening to Coffee with Radio Ranch Wranglers here on the SFAWBN. I'll bring the men on the line. Good morning, Tim.
Good morning.
And good morning, Will.
Hey, good morning.
And, Will, would you start us off with a word of prayer this morning, please, sir?
You bet. Dear Lord in heaven, we come to you today, this morning, Lord, just praising your name, thanking you, Lord, for the world that we live in, your creation, God, that you've given us. And, Lord, we just thank you for the blessings in our life and the blessings that we have right now, just getting together, Lord, in this fellowship. And we pray, Lord, that it'll be pleasing to you and uplifting to the remnant no matter where they are. And, Lord, I just pray for wisdom for Jason and Tim and myself, Lord, and the words that we say this morning, Lord. We know that they will be for a meaning, and that meaning is to further the cause of Christ and to build the kingdom that is promised to us. And, Lord, we love you, and we thank you for the opportunities that we have this morning. We ask it in your name. Amen.
Amen. Well, there's an awful lot of stuff going on in the world today. We sure got an awful lot to talk about, at least. Where would you guys like to start off this morning?
I think I guess we start out in world things. Isn't it interesting that there's just a lot of, I would say saber rattling, but it seems like a lot of bombs dropping all over the place.
No kidding.
Does that count as saber rattling, or is that something a little more heavy duty?
I mean, I guess the concussion of the bombs would make the sabers rattle.
Yeah. Make everything right.
So, yeah, what was it? The 27th airstrike against Somalia this year?
Yeah.
or of the year?
of the year. I mean, that's amazing. and I think that the thing that interests me is have you heard anything about any of this anywhere else?
No.
No.
I haven't. And that's what I noticed. It's like you really have to look hard to find this, but... I don't know, 27 airstrikes over there. Maybe we're just killing them off so that we can send some replacements.
Last year was 124 airstrikes, and I seen where they were talking about if airstrikes keep a pace of what they've been since the first of the year, they're talking about that's possible 312 this year, which would be like an incredible amount of airstrikes.
One a day almost.
Aren't cheap. Yeah, exactly. And those airstrikes aren't cheap even, money-wise.
So let me throw this out at y'all. You know, we talked about it, I don't know, it's been a few weeks ago. There's a breakaway country, for the lack of a better term, called Somaliland, and it's a part of Somalia, but they've broken away and say they're independent. But the number one backer of Somaliland is the State of Israel. The State of Israel is the only international body that has recognized Somaliland as an independent nation. Is it possible that we're just raining hell on the country of Somalia to legitimize Somaliland for the Israeli? I can't think of another reason why we're doing it. I mean, why do y'all think we're doing it?
It doesn't make any sense to me. I mean, that makes sense, but nothing else does.
Nothing else does.
Certainly seems like another territorial land grab in favor I mean,
right.
It's not a lot different than what's been going on over the Gaza and stuff with the Israelis.
That's exactly what I was thinking, Tim. Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking. I came across some news articles where it was talking about Israel is going to go in and set up infrastructure in Somaliland and electrical grids and ports and this sort of stuff. And it's very reminiscent of what's happening in Gaza. And I just thought, you know, maybe that's what it is, that they're just we're going to bomb them into oblivion so that Israel can have a footprint there in East Africa. I don't know.
Yeah, and all that work they're going to do over there is coming out of our pocket because they don't
that's
spend
right.
their own money on anything.
Yeah.
So, yeah. You guys bomb them. You guys put the power grid in. And I know we've had a lot of issues with the Somali pirate thing, but I'm kind of failing to understand how. I think that this bombing that we were, this airstrike that we were reading about, it happened inland from, the port, like, what was it, 60, 80 miles, something like that? I mean, it
right.
was quite a ways inland. Of course, in the mountain caves back there. And I suppose when you drive people out of their coastal areas and out of their cities, where are they going to live in caves? I mean, but
right.
yeah, there's some strange questions here for sure. 25 miles, I guess, off the Gulf of Aden. So,
Tim, why don't you move your mic just a little bit closer to your mouth there? You're just a little okay. quiet.
Okay, we'll try that. Is that better?
That's a lot better.
Okay. Yeah, it was only 25 miles inland, so I was a little bit off on my mileage. But I don't know really how big the whole country is as far as square miles go, but still, I don't think the pirates are operating out of are operating from 20, 30 miles inland.
Mm-hmm. What? I'm in my mind, I'm trying to figure out how the Israelis are going to, what lie they're going to tell that maybe, I guess there maybe was an ancient tribe of Jewish Somalis that at one time was inhabited that land and that's a part of Greater Israel now, that they're just reclaiming their so-called homeland, right? Ancestral homeland.
Yeah, that wouldn't surprise me at all.
Yeah.
Well,
I mean, they've done it all, done it everywhere else.
They're anti-Semites.
Yeah.
Who's not, according to them? Isn't Somalia basically, or Somaliland, aren't those, I mean, Somalia basically like a primarily Islamic religion country?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's what I was. So.
Yep.
There's that. So, and sometimes you just got to wonder if it's just not the fact that they breathe that irritates the Israelis. So,
I think that's probably it, Tim.
And I don't have any idea how did we end up with so many dang Somalis over here?
Well, I've been trying to figure it out, Jason. Yeah, I've been trying to figure it out. I know what happened with the Serbs, of how we got so many Serbians here, and that was the Baptist denomination. During that Civil War, you know, you had, in my opinion, good doers that through the State Department of the United States brought in a bunch of Serbians, and they established pockets all across this country, and they're Muslim too. And I got to experience that firsthand when I was a younger man. I'm going to guess it's something like that, Jason, that, you know, some do-gooding church got with the U.S. State Department and probably got some kind of lucrative deal where they were paid, like Catholic charities or something like that, to bring these Somalis in the 90s to the United States. Why they picked, I mean, I think I know why they picked Minnesota to bring them there, because, you know, if you scratch your head and stop thinking about it, the climate of Minnesota looks absolutely nothing like Somalia. You know, the geography, the topography, you know, whatever. It's the Great Frozen North. That's not how I would describe Somalia at all. As a matter of fact, I would say it's the opposite of Somalia. But, and I'm telling you guys what you already know, could you have picked a more Anglo, Scandinavian, Germanic state than Minnesota to flood in with Eastern African invaders? And the answer is no, you couldn't. And so I think they picked Minnesota just because it wasn't diverse enough, and they were going to, by golly, make it. That I think that's how they ended up in Minnesota, but who brought them there? I don't know. That's what I think.
The usual suspects. That's who brought them there.
The usual suspects. That's exactly right. The usual suspects. But you go back and look, and in all seriousness, because I mean, during all this Minnesota stuff, I like statistics, so I've been looking at it. Minnesota as a whole, and in the Minneapolis-St. Paul area, like the public school systems, I mean, kids were educated. You know, whether we agree with the kind of education that they got or not is a different story, but they could read, they could write, they could graduate school, they could go on to college. The rates were very, very high. Well, you guys want to guess what it's been like for like the last 20 years? It's fallen through the floor because of the influx of these Somalis. And, you know, guys, I guess, what are we, 15 minutes into the show, and I'm just going to go ahead and just be that ugly racist and say, if you look at the IQs of the average Somalian, you're talking like 65, 70. They are not what you would call a smart people, and truly, as Jason likes to say, they can't even figure out how to use a toilet. You know, like they, you know, they'll rip a toilet out so they can poop in the floor, and that's what we're dealing with. And so you look at the great people that made up Minnesota, the pioneer people that conquered the those territories and expanded America and really made, I mean, you stop and think about the Great Frozen North. Think about the agriculture that's up there, the dairy, the wheat, just everything that is done up there, and that was done by our people. And then they bring in these guys, you know, that will murder their neighbor for a sack of wheat that's being thrown out of a United Nations helicopter. I mean, that's pretty much what the Somalis are. And I don't know. Somebody brought them in for a reason, and I guess we can all figure out what the reason is. We're looking at it.
Yeah. Well, in these Somalis, weren't these the same people that were getting – didn't we talk about a year ago about them getting like $8,000 a month and getting these per diems and all these perks and stuff? So
that's right.
I mean, obviously, I think that all that has halted. I don't know if we're still bringing them in, but we were talking about motels completely full of them in different parts of the country.
Yeah.
I mean, and I don't know about you guys. I've had a few dealings with Somalians, but not very many. And I prefer to keep it that way. But I don't know any redeeming qualities about any of these Somalis, to tell you the truth. It's like they can't use a toilet. They can't work. They're lazy. They're, I don't know. They're dishonest, and they don't even have any good food.
just bananas and rice. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Right? I think that listening to them talk is, they had that, whatever her name was, I didn't get to, but, you know, talking about what it was like to be Somali and what it was like to be American. But really all I heard was what she said was that she was a Somali and living in America. They don't integrate.
That's right.
They have no interest in it. So,
go ahead, Tim.
I would just hope that they're not bringing them in anymore under a lot of this stuff. But who knows? Wouldn't be the first time we've seen them bringing them in one way and taking them out another. These kind of things are situation normal for, you know, kind of a normal status in our political parties, the way things get done. But consensus. Yeah. Go ahead.
No, Jason, if it's okay with you and Tim, I want to take just a minute to preach.
Yeah.
And it's not a news topic. It's not a news story or anything, but I want to talk about Somalis. But it's not just Somalis. I mean, it could be Haitians. It could be Sri Lankans. I don't care. But what I will say is for our people, the remnant, the Anglo-Saxon, Germanic, Scandinavian, and descended people, our kin, our kindred, the people that know who real Israel is, and I mean Jacob Israel of the Bible, who that means, not the modern media narrative or the prostitute, pimp, pulpit churches. I mean the truth that Pastor Peters brought, the truth that Scriptures for America is built on. For those people that are listening to me, if for one moment you think these Somalis are fill in the blank of whoever it is, the Haitians or whatever, are our neighbors, you're wrong. They are not our neighbors. Neighbors are not someone who geographically lives across the street from you. They are not your neighbors. Your neighbors are people of your nation, of your kindred. And these people that have been brought on us, that have been thrown into our communities, that have been pushed into our schools, who have replaced our workers, it was done by the enemy in order to push us further and further down because of our wickedness of falling away from God and God's laws, just as it was foretold in Deuteronomy as the punishment of what would happen to us if we embrace that wickedness. And if you stop for a moment and look at what ICE is doing or whatever, and you think they are the wicked ones for wanting to rid our land of these people, you need to stop and think about what you're saying. Because those people, these invaders, these so-called immigrants or whatever, they are racial strangers to us that are the punishment for our wickedness. And we have to bend a knee as a nation, as American white Christians, and pray for God's forgiveness. And I'm going to tell you, I think that those prayers of the remnants have happened, Jason and Tim. And I think we're seeing a reprieve of that by what is going on with the deportation of these strangers away from us. And I'm one man right now. I'm not speaking for Tim or Jason or even SFA. I'm just saying I thank God for what's happening. Because I believe that this is a reprieve from our wickedness and our sin, and I pray that it continues to go on. But anyone who is believing that these people are our neighbors, are our kin, or whatever, I just think you're misguided, and you really need to go back and find out the truth, because these people are not us. They are not our neighbors. And I don't know, maybe y'all can correct me if I'm wrong in anything I've just said. I'll take the rebuke, but that's certainly what I believe.
No, I agree. I think that's definitely a win to get them out of here. So that's my opinion. They need to go. And they are not of that people. And they don't, you know, when you look at what we're supposed to be doing, they don't do any of it. I mean, there's nothing there that they add that is lifting, that is, you know, outgoing or uplifting. It's like, used to say, well, they just dumb everybody down. And I think that's more of what this is. It's the dumbing down or the pouring down, P-O-O-R, you know, of our country. And if you want to get back up, if you want to have good, like you said, statistic-wise, but if you want to have the blessings of God, that's the spiritual angle of it, and then the others all come. You got to get them out
that's
of
right.
there. So.
That's right.
I think it's interesting you were talking about why they were in Minnesota, and one of the things that I had looked up here just a while back is we talk a lot on here about how there's a battle to use food as a weapon. And Minnesota agriculturally speaking ranks fourth to every other state in the United States in terms of total agricultural exports. It's the fourth largest. Now, that doesn't take into account things like transportation, manufacturing, and you know, those sort of things. But when you look at that, you know, they generate approximately $25 billion a year in agricultural sales. They export $9.1 billion worth of goods, and all that. And there's enough people there to make a stink, too. You know, there might be other mm-hmm. places. Minnesota is remarkably well-rounded as far as farming, livestock, production, and you know, not just food, but also in the manufacturing of things. Most of the food patents and food growing things, and I'm not saying this is a good thing because there's some really nasty patents coming out of there, but most of the food-related stuff that's going on in the world is coming out of Minnesota. So it's, yeah, there's definitely an ulterior motive there, and I think it relates back to food as a weapon and, yeah, those sort of things. Why else would you put those people into an area that nothing like where they came from now?
Yeah. Well, I mean, geez, we could send them to Nebraska, and it'd be closer to than Minnesota or Texas or something like that.
Yeah. You can't send them to Texas. We won't take them.
Can't send them here either. Well, and see, that attitude right there may be why they're not here. You know what I'm saying? Like, oh, no.
Yeah. No, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I think it goes back. I mean, if you really look at it, I think I'm right in saying this. I think the most prominent Protestant denomination in Minnesota is the Lutheran Church. And goodness, I mean, if you know anything about the modern day Lutheran Church, it would make sense that they would be very welcoming to anybody. I'm just not really sure that that would be the same down here or even in Nebraska.
No, me either. I you know, and
yeah.
People have good hearts, but they don't have, I don't know. I don't know if it's, I would say they don't have soft heads, but sometimes I wonder. But the point is there's still just that germ of who we are and where we came from. It's like, no, I'm not giving up my guns. I'm not going to knuckle under, you know. so, and that's why we're flyover country and they hate us. And see, that's another thing. I mean, there you are. It's like, well, why would we send them there? That's a nothing place, you know. So they want to stimulate this type of upheaval, this type of, you know, shock. And that's like, well, we can use that. And you wouldn't get that in a lot of these less populated areas, I don't think. So.
Yeah, a lot of interesting stuff. Let's move on and go over to, I know one of you guys sent over an article about Vietnam. What's happening with Vietnam?
The way I understand it, Jason, is a internal document shows that the Vietnamese military, they are preparing for a possible war with America. Just reading directly from the article, it says that the Vietnamese military is taking steps to prepare for a possible American, quote, war of aggression and consider the United States to be a belligerent power. This came out this week, and basically they're saying that they're looking at the Trump administration and what this new America. And they believe there's a possibility that there is a risk of war against Vietnam, that there may be a pretext created that Donald Trump would say it's time to go back in and finish what we didn't before. So that's just the gist of it. I may have missed something, Tim. I don't know.
Well, I don't think you did. I mean, there's a lot of, they're basically making a lot of shakeout over it. And if you go back historically, Vietnam has always kind of been a puppet of China. So, and I think this, I hate to sound like a broken record, but I think this kind of ties back into BRICS again and into some of the other things we've seen. Mm-hmm. We've got some interesting stuff here we're going to talk about in a minute on Panama. China is getting their horns sawed off worldwide. I mean, basically, Cuba's having issues. Venezuela's having issues. North Korea's having issues. I mean, we've got all this dissent going on. And if you really trace it all back, it all goes back to China. I mean, it all goes back to that. And I think that
having issues. What do you mean by they're having issues?
Well, there's just different. Cuba's looking at losing, China's looking at losing authority and power over the Panama Canal. They're trying to take the Panama Canal back to the United States. Cuba's basically not getting oil from Venezuela now. And Venezuela and China were very much connected through a lot of financial means and power means. And so Cuba's not getting oil because of the embargoes there. There's all of these Chinese minions that are running around are being put upon by the, world stage events that are going on. And I think that China's just using Vietnam here as a, what do you want to call it, a buffer piece to,
a pawn.
Yeah. China came out and said, hey, we're going to attack you if you don't quit doing this. But they can have Vietnam say that. And really what that amounts to in political terms is Vietnam's not saying that. China's saying that through Vietnam. And don't kid yourself, that's understood because if China did jump in there on the deep end of the pool, did jump into the deep end of the pool with that, China would have their back, So that's kind of, one of those things. So you're not really messing with Vietnam, you're messing with China when you're doing that. So I think that's kind of interesting.
I'll lend credence, not that it needs it, to what Tim's saying, because if you really look at the two conflicts that we had in the 20th century in that region, in Korea, the Korean conflict and then the Vietnam conflict, those were both proxy wars with China. That China propped up the North Koreans and also the Vietnamese. Those communist regimes that are still in existence in both of those countries, they wouldn't exist without the financial and military support of China. So any saber rattling, Tim, or any type of conflict with Vietnam is the same as saying a conflict with China.
Yes.
Nothing new there.
In political parlance, yeah. And we've got things going on in Taiwan over there. I mean, China's saying, we're going to take Taiwan. And we've got, and if you look at that, boil it all down to it, that's kind of what you're looking at. China is the player over there. China's aggravated because they're getting kicked out of Panama. They're aggravated because they're getting pushed back in Mexico. They are the, what do you want to call it, lead communist regime in the world as far as power player goes, yep. I think. And so it's kind of an old story. I mean, you got the communists and you got the non-communists. There you go, right?
Yeah, pretty much. No, that's it. And I think there is, I guess we could jump right into it. We're already talking about it, but the deal with the Panama Canal, this Trump administration, I mean, they've been in office a little more than a year now, has very aggressively gone after American control of the Panama Canal again. And they've realized that. I mean, they, once again, basically the Panama Canal was built by the United States taxpayer. It was our money that constructed the Panama Canal. It was going to benefit the United States. At some point, we reverted control of the Panama Canal to the Panamanians, and the Panamanians contracted. I don't know, Tim, you may remember when that happened, but they pretty much gave control of the Panama Canal to Chinese interests. And go ahead.
It was just during the Clinton administration, right? That was all
90s. Yeah, it was the Clintons allowed that to happen during that. I can't remember when, 96, 95, something like that. So for the last 30 years, pretty much, the Chinese, very far from their homeland, has been controlling maybe the most major shipping route in the Western Hemisphere. And pretty much what Trump has done in the last year is using political and economic power, we evicted the Chinese and sent them back to the Far East and said, now we're going to control this. This is ours. And that's where we're at now. So I cannot think of a better way of making the Chinese mad than to do something like that.
Yes. Yeah, I just last week here, the Panama Supreme Court ruled to, I think, void the operating license of a Hong Kong-based, I think the name of the company is like C.K. Hutchinson or Hutchison or something like that. And but the point is Hong Kong is China now because the lease expired with Britain on Hong Kong. So if there's, you know, same-o. But, yeah. It's going to upset, and I'm sure we're probably talking about billions of dollars worth of, shipping, money and tariffs and everything else going on there that we know nothing about, but yeah, exactly.
And it's not just the billions of dollars. Obviously that's nothing to sneeze at, and that's going to make these Chinese corporations very angry, but it's the loss of strategic ground, you know, that Chinese the Chinese are losing their footprint in our backyard. These are the things, you know, and Jason, this might not be as sexy as talking about like the Somalis invading Minnesota, but you talk about wins. I mean, I don't think any American Christian patriot is a fan of the communist Chinese, but over the last three decades, they've been allowed literally to come into our backyards, and now you have an administration that is focused, laser focused, on kicking them out. I look at it as a win, and you know, I'm going to tell you that there are things, and when Trump does something I disagree with, I'm going to be vocal about it. But this sort of thing that we're talking about right now, it is high time. When you say "Make America Great Again," this is what I think of. This sort of scenario of the Chinese have no business being in the Panama Canal and running their shipping routes, get them out. And that's effectively what has happened.
Well, and didn't we have control of the Panama Canal up until 1999?
There you go. Pretty much. I think that's when the Yep.
So, I mean, a lot of people said that we haven't had control over it since the 70s, but I'm pretty sure it was 1999 when we handed it over. I think we had control of it until then, so that hasn't been that long ago.
I think Jimmy Carter and his administration allowed the Panamanians to have some say in what was going on, but yeah, I think we handed it completely over during the Clinton administration, so that would make sense.
Yeah.
Both Democrats, by the way.
Contractually speaking, why, you know, the canal was supposed to belong to America and be an American orchestrated and, you know, was supposed to be oversaw by us basically forever. I mean, it was a lifetime contract. So, and it was American lives, American equipment, and American money, and a lot of it was taxpayer money, probably most of it, honestly. Yep. That went down there and built that because it would benefit our country directly in shipping and in control. That's a big deal to have to go all the way south and around the Cape down there back up to, you know, back up. And that was great. But the other thing about China that people don't a lot of times understand is there was just an article out on U.S. lawmakers hearing testimony warning that Chinese Communist Party is engaged in a deliberate campaign to eradicate religious belief and replace it with loyalty to the state. Witnesses told Congress that, you know, Beijing views faith in God as a direct threat to Communist Party authority. Yeah, they're probably right. I'd call that, yeah, okay. They're systematically targeting Christians, and then they, you know, under mass surveillance, they imprison them, do forced indoctrination, torture, these kinds of things. I mean, it's nothing new to any of us who've been involved But they don't play nice. They don't believe in the melting pot. They don't believe in plurality of religious conviction. They believe in loyalty to the state, you know, until death do us part. And so this is not a, you know, a little game that you're playing where if you lose, you just, it's life altering. So, yeah, going on all the time. And it's going on, it's playing out on the world stage too. They don't like us.
No.
that's for sure. So we had shot down a drone the other day that was approaching the USS Abraham Lincoln aircraft carrier. Iranian drone. That's interesting. What did they expect to happen?
Yeah, it looked like... It may have been a test to see if it could be shut down. Who knows, right? Yeah. So, and does anybody else wonder where they get that stuff? So, it's like, wow. So, I think it's interesting they built it, but yeah. Go ahead.
I was going to bring up, do you remember during the Obama administration when the Iranians supposedly captured one of our drones?
I did not know that happened, actually.
Yep. I could probably look it up. I think it was one of our Predator drones, and there was tons of speculation that was during that. Because if you remember, this was the same presidential administration that took pallets of $100 bills to the Iranians. Do y'all remember that? It was whatever, how many hundreds of millions or whatever that the Obama administration delivered pallets of $100 bills to appease the Iranians. There was a lot of speculation at the time that we landed, the American government allowed that drone to land in Iran so that they could reverse engineer it and build drones. That was part of an agreement with the Obama administration, and the cover story was that the Iranians shut it down in the air and were able to recover it.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And did we ever get that back? I remember there being a lot of noise made about it, but I don't think we ever got it back.
We never got it back. We never got it back. And that was after the fact, you know, it was kind of a hullabaloo that they got our drone or whatever. And in the end, what it really was is we probably landed that drone. For them to be able to reverse engineer.
Right. Well, if they just shut it down, it only stands to reason that it probably would have crashed, which would have defeated the purpose of, I mean, it would have made it a lot tougher, right? So.
Right. It was in December of 2011 that this happened. I just looked it up. So that would have been, it was an RQ-170 Sentinel drone. It was a top of the line stealth spy drone, and it was December of 2011.
Wow. That's been a hot minute. They've had a little time to work on them since then. So.
Yep.
And who knows how many of those they have. I'm sure somebody does, but, you know, they're, it's very, I don't know. And they were in international waters. The Abraham Lincoln was. I think that was the ship that was attacked, if I remember. So isn't it or not attacked, approached, I should say.
It was aggressively approached, yeah.
Which, to my way of thinking, is like, so it was aggressive enough you shot it down. I'd call that an attack. Somebody. Yeah, pretty much. We're not waiting to find out. So, yeah.
Well, they got to be preparing for something because they're wiring the money out of the country like crazy.
So, in addition to that, Jason, the United States operates what they call a virtual embassy in Iran. They don't have a physical embassy, but it's just an online presence. And yesterday, the State Department of the United States government, through this virtual embassy, put out a red alert to all American citizens telling them, if you're in Iran, you have to get out immediately. 48 hours.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That's a hot one.
Get out of Iran. And a lot of these war hawks that watch this sort of stuff, there's one guy I kind of follow, and he said he's now upped his bets that there's probably a 90%+ likelihood that the first part of this upcoming week the U.S. is going to strike Iran. Mm. So, but it goes back to the same question that at least I have is why?
Why?
Why are we striking Iran?
That was going to be my next question.
I don't know. Tim, why are we striking Iran?
I don't know either exactly. I mean, to me, sometimes this stuff is like, leaves me scratching my head. I mean, I know it's a holy war. I know they're attacking their own citizens and basically massacring people over there. Again, given, you know, historical precedent, that doesn't always require action on our part. But I think that, probably just because the Israelis want us to. I mean, I don't know. It's like
That's my answer, Tim.
Sounds kind of simple.
To what end? I don't know. I don't know why the Israelis want it. Other than, I mean, you know, it could just be as simple as if you look at it regionally, Iran really is the biggest of Israel as far as the number of people and the military capabilities and that sort of thing. I mean, if you look regionally, they're really the only stumbling block against Israel continuing to march through the Middle East. I mean, maybe it's that. Maybe it's just as simple as that.
Well, they're definitely the most technologically advanced, and they're also the most, closed-minded, as far as incursions go and that kind of stuff. I mean, they actually possess enough, especially if Israel was unaided by other players, namely us, they wouldn't have, they're a real threat. I mean, there's no doubt about it. I just think underestimating the Iranians is a mistake. I don't think they're, and I don't think they're like some world superpower personally, but they're not Somalia, you know? So, yeah.
Right.
Go ahead.
I just did a quick search that says, why does Israel hate Iran? And it's kind of interesting. Number one, Iranian stance since 1979, Islamic Revolution. Iran's government has refused to recognize Israel. Its calls for its destruction and refers to it as the Zionist regime. Israel's stance, Israel views Iran as its biggest adversary and in existential threat, primarily due to its nuclear program, ballistic missile development, and support of the anti-Israel militant groups. So, yeah, that's probably why we're going to be bombing Iran.
I'll throw one on there, too, and say Iran doesn't have a Rothschild bank, central bank.
Yeah, well, it's one of the only countries that doesn't have one of those.
That's right.
They pretty much worked their way through most of them. So,
that's right. And regionally, you look at that, and I mean, that maybe it's that, you know? I mean, I don't know. And like you were just reading off, Jason, Iran also is, they've made no bones about it. They've called a spade a dirty shovel. They've been very public at their, they don't like the Jews, and they say it. So maybe it's just that.
Maybe I got something in common with these Iranians.
Yeah, maybe so. Maybe more than you know. So
interesting. Very, very interesting stuff.
I don't want to move to Iran. I have no intentions of that or whatever, but I would ask folks, I mean, you stop and really think, and I get it. I'm not foolish. I remember 50 years ago, the Iranians took American hostages and stuff like that. I'm not forgetting any of that. But if you look at the last four going on almost five decades, the hostility toward Americans from Iran has been pretty much non-existent. Now, the hostility toward the Jewish state of Israel, that's a different story. And, I mean, I look at that as, well, that's none of my business. And I don't look at it as Iran as being an aggressor toward our homeland, but I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. But that doesn't mean I agree with Iran and their Islamic State or anything, because I certainly don't. But if they want to wipe out Israel and Israel wants to wipe out Iran, I don't see how that's any of my business.
Right. We're not. We shouldn't be in that fight.
Exactly. Right. That's not my fight.
That's what the Jews do. They always try to get somebody else and get somebody else to float the bill and somebody else to fight their wars for them.
Well, I think when you really stop and look at it, we're just the military wing of the central banks. And if you really want to look at it that way, as far as the United States, is Israel, you know, all wars are banker wars, right? I mean, that's not me that said that. Smarter men have said that, and I think that still holds true. All wars are bankers' wars.
Yeah, they're certainly the ones that benefit from it. I mean, constantly.
100%.
Yeah. They may be the only ones that benefit from it, largely.
Agreed.
Yeah, we're going to go to the phone lines. Hello, caller.
Yeah, did you guys hear about the Epstein stuff that came out this week?
Yes, we did. I did. What did you hear about it?
I did.
Well, I think it ties in with this Iranian stuff. Trump was kind of dragging his feet on attacking Iran. And I think they threw this out to get him going because his name was 5,000. And, of course, as it came out, they had people redacting, blacking out stuff. And I think it was just a warning to him that, you know, if you don't get going, we'll really let something out. Anyway, I just wanted to throw that in.
Yeah, good point. Very possible.
I think that's very possible.
Well, it's just sick. I don't watch mainstream stuff, but that have they been reporting on that at all about this Epstein stuff that came out?
I've seen quite a bit of stuff that has actually come out on it. I'm surprised on how much stuff. And one of the things that has come out is just full of stuff on, I mean, for Jewish doctors, Jewish this, Jewish that, and I mean, just it really shows you how involved the Jews were involved in all that.
Yeah,
and I'll throw my opinion in. Doesn't it, the stuff that's been released this week, if you like you were just saying, Jason, is all fingers are pointing back to the Jews and Israel. Can anyone say now that Jeffrey Epstein wasn't a Mossad agent?
Right.
Yeah. I don't think so. Pretty obvious
well,
he was.
We've talked about before the fact that, you know, as soon as they release those files, anyone that they want to use that stick on, you can't use it on them anymore. You know, so it's like, yeah. Data is only as long as it's got value.
We'll carry
on. I got
on.
One for y'all.
All right. Well, thanks for calling.
Since the caller brought it up, it wasn't really something we were going to talk about, but, I mean, why not? It's getting to the top of the hour. Is Jeffrey Epstein dead?
I don't think so.
I have
I don't think
guess.
So either. Yeah, I don't think so. In the world of spycraft, one of the things that's always been known is Mossad doesn't kill Mossad. They won't allow that to happen. So I don't know. I
really don't think he is. I don't think he killed himself over this. I think that I don't think it was possible.
Yep. I think he was walked out of that jail and is probably in Tel Aviv somewhere. Remember, Israel doesn't have extradition agreements with any country in the world.
Yeah.
If you are an Israeli citizen, there's a reason, by the way, if folks all of these American politicians that have found themselves elected that are dual citizens in Israel, you know, people, we as patriots say, well, that's ridiculous. You should have loyalty just to your home country and all that. Well, that's their get out of jail free card, folks. They're going to get on the first thing smoking to Israel, and when they land in Tel Aviv, that's home base. They're not getting extradited. The Israeli government will not allow that to happen, and I think that's what happened with Jeffrey Epstein. I think he got whisked away and is over there now, and whether it's known or unknown to our intelligence services, it doesn't matter because he's not going to get extradited. And the same thing applies. I mean, it has come out this week, folks, that Ehud Barak, who was the prime minister of Israel, the equivalent of Benjamin Netanyahu, regularly was visiting with Jeffrey Epstein and exchanging emails. They were best of friends.
Right.
And you look at, those are not people that commit suicide on Rikers Island. That's not how the world works. And I look at that as I don't believe it. I don't believe it at all.
Well, and what I've noticed out of these Epstein files, and I mean, Jesus, there's, 3 million documents that just got released, so it's nobody's going to be able to go through all of them, but just the amount of connections that this guy had. He had connections with just about everybody that was in power of anything. I mean, if you were halfway somebody, you were friends with Epstein or been invited to Epstein Island.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was hoovering up the dirt right along. Yeah, I mean, definitely.
That's right.
And I think that, isn't it interesting that the optic of that was, let's see, we don't like the Venezuelan president, so we just go down there and get him, no problem. But we have someone who supposedly has done all the heinous deeds that Epstein did and has all this blackmail capability and everything else, but he doesn't get arrested till the time's right. There's no, they don't go, I mean, who would really care all that much if you went down there and popped him and brought him back up or whatever? But no, it was all timing. I mean, it very convenient. So, yeah.
Whatever happened with Epstein Island, anyway?
I think they sold it in there.
I don't know.
It was for sale. I mean, supposedly, last I'd heard, or maybe in this day of AI, maybe that wasn't what really, I'm not sure. So, but they were, and the next question I have is, who was selling it, if that's the case? I mean,
who did it belong to? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the one I want to know. I mean, okay. Yeah, that was what I heard, is that it was up for sale. Whether it actually did sell or not, I'm not sure. So
yeah, interesting. Well, we're gonna take a break and have a song, and we'll be right back in just a moment. Stay tuned, folks.
Mountains and mountains.
Well, where you want to go, guys want to go next?
Did you hear about the biolab in Las Vegas, the Chinese biolab?
I did.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's a pretty messed up deal, but, I mean, we've known that stuff's been going on for a long time, but they actually busted one, so that was good. I think, just crazy.
The most interesting part of this is, and I haven't, maybe you guys have, I don't know exactly what all was supposedly in. It was a home. It was a house that was set up as a clandestine, I guess, some sort of bio lab linked to the Chinese. And something that I found interesting is the home this bio lab was in is owned by a guy who I G.B. Xu, who is a Chinese national who's already in federal prison for operating a illegal bio lab in Reedley, California, and he's been in prison since 2023. But this home in Las Vegas is owned by him and is also an illegal bio lab. How does that work?
Yeah. I mean, you don't think that they would have looked up his addresses and went and checked on, maybe he's got something else going on or executed a search warrant or something? I mean, hello?
Stop making sense, Jason. How many more of these are going on?
Well, and I have a little thrill out there. I don't think he owned that home, maybe. I think he rented that home or leased it.
Okay.
Because the property manager of the home was arrested, too, and booked into the Clark County Detention Center. Now, maybe I'm misunderstanding or missed something there, but I thought it was interesting that guy's name was Ori Solomon. That's the property manager of the home. So I'm not sure where that name comes from, but that's a thought there, an interesting one, I think. And this isn't the first time we've talked about Chinese and bioweapon stuff going on, right? We were just talking, I think, last week about the screw worms coming in and about different things like that. We're back to this attack again, right? So this is a didn't China sign a non-proliferation on bioweapons? I mean, pretty much everybody in the world has, right? So
you would think, but you know, this is going to be plausible deniability, right? That guy's not a Chinese agent. He's operating independently. I get what you're saying.
Yeah.
So well, and what's crazy is they don't even know what the stuff is that they found. I mean, they said it's when I looked into it, it's like, well, we found vials of unknown substances. We found gallons of unknown substances. It's like everything that they found was an unknown substance, and they didn't know what it was. And, well, we got to send it off and get tested. But, kind of crazy.
Yeah, over 1,000 pieces of potentially biological and hazardous materials. And then authorities said there's no threat to the public. I mean, so you don't know what it is, but there's no threat to the public. I mean, it's like, hello.
Yeah, how do you say it's no threat to the public if you haven't got a stinking clue of what it is?
Yeah, that was one of the things.
Yeah.
I mean, you lie,
Jason.
Right.
They just lie to them is what you do.
They're pretty good at that.
How do you know it's a bio lab if you don't even know what it is? I mean, there's questions there that are like, yeah.
Tim, I got your answer. You guys are going to love this. Breaking news. I'm serious. This is like a little ray of sunshine that just dropped into my hands here. So this is from 14 hours ago from KTNZ ABC affiliate channel 13 out of Las Vegas. And this is talking about Ori Solomon. All right, and he was arrested, and you guys are going to love this. Solomon is also facing federal gun charges after authorities found bullets and at least six firearms during a search of his Las Vegas home on Saturday. Police and court records reveal that Solomon is an Israeli citizen who was admitted to the United States on a non-immigrant visa, which is valid until May. The visa prohibits him from having guns or committing crimes. So the guy that was overseeing this is an Israeli citizen operating a Chinese bioweapons lab. There you go.
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah. I had no previous knowledge of this, just a disclaimer.
Wow.
But I was just reading through that going, oh, that doesn't work.
When you said that, I actually thought, well, that guy sounds like a Haitian, like an islander or something. I'm going to try to find a picture of him. And I came across that, and that was too good not to share.
Wow.
Right?
So, that was good. But are we surprised?
Thank you.
I'm not surprised at all. But, so that's a setup for a good joke. A Chinese biochemist and an Israeli citizen walk into a Las Vegas bar.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, there's definitely some very, you just can't make this stuff up. I mean, you don't have to. The truth is definitely stranger than fiction. And
no doubt.
When we see this kind of stuff, it's like, you know, occasionally you might be wrong in your thought, but I see where they're taking a lot of this material that was swapped out of this. And burning it. They're taking all these toxic chemicals and everything and burning it. And supposedly he was selling fake test kits. But for what, I don't know. I mean, and what was the purpose of a fake kit unless it's to infect somebody? These are all just wild off the cuff thoughts. Go ahead.
I'm sitting here staring out the window and just thinking, you know, I don't pretend to run in. I don't have large circles I run in. But you guys, you've been around. In all of your living, have you ever been in a situation where you're just randomly meeting Chinese biochemists and Israeli citizens that are showing up on visas to work for Chinese biolabs? Or, I mean, does that just seem weird to you that somehow in Las Vegas, Nevada, a fresh off the boat Israeli comes into contact with a guy who's in federal prison since 2023 to operate his biolab clandestinely in Las Vegas? How does that work? How does that happen? How do you get hooked up like that?
That's a really good question.
I mean, I go back that this Chinese dude, according to media reports, got arrested in 2023 in Reedley, California, and is in federal prison. How does a chink in federal prison employ an Israeli citizen to operate a biolab from prison?
Yeah.
I don't know. Sorry. That's probably –
it's a really good – You know, I mean, it's got to be, you know, tinfoil hat conspiracy, right? I mean, exactly.
It's almost like there's connections that are working in the free world to continue the same. I guess in my mind, what I'm thinking is the way the system is supposed to work is if you're doing something wrong, you go to prison. The thing you were doing wrong stops.
Yes.
But in this scenario, it didn't stop. It jumped into a different state in a major metropolitan area, and the Israelis are involved. Maybe the Israelis were involved in the one in Reedley, Colorado, and the real employee is the Chinese guy.
Yeah, that's a good possibility. And the other thing about that whole deal is when you look at it and ask yourself that, it's like, well, how did – I mean, under the mechanizations of the system, if you were on a visa over here and you committed that kind of crime, what would happen to you? You'd go up, you'd be found guilty of this, and you'd be exported, you know, I mean, or whatever. You would be ticketed and gone. But no, that's not what happened here. Let's keep him around for some future news.
I'll speak to this, too, that, you know, supposedly this guy had six handguns, this Israeli, and he's here on a temporary visa. Well, you can't go buy handguns and fill out a 4473 at Academy Sports or Murdoch's and on a temporary visa. You know what I mean? So, I mean, that's so you got a guy that's only been here, according to this news report out of Las Vegas, for a few months, but he's got the wherewithal and the local knowledge to go buy six guns.
And he had six of them. Who needs six guns? And hundreds of rounds of ammunition?
Well, obviously criminals, Jason.
Well, you're back to connections again. How do you make connections like that?
That's it.
So,
yeah. You're a fresh off the boat Jew that it comes into Vegas. But, I'm sitting here having epiphanies left and right. Turns out epiphany's just not a little black girl that I used to ride the school bus with. But this Las Vegas is a Jewish city. It was created from the ground up by the Jewish mobsters, the Jewish mafia. So, now that I'm sitting here thinking about it, no, it makes total sense. Makes total sense.
Yeah, there's definitely connect the dots stuff going on there. If you want to take the time to do it,
only Will, Jason, and Tim could take a story about a Chinese biolab and turn it right back to Israel
without even trying.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say this whole Wuhan thing and the COVID, that was the juice.
Yeah.
Why not?
Yeah. I think so, too.
Oh, man.
You guys are just after them. No, they're after you.
They're after me. Yeah, that's exactly right.
And I haven't been to Vegas in a couple of years now, but, boy, last time that I was there, I tell you what, just looking at the people, it'd be like, I think they're dumping that stuff in the water because It was like being in a different country, and that ain't no joke. It was it's different out there.
It is. I haven't been there for a long time either. That's okay.
I'm with Tim on that. Yeah. So I don't know. I keep I know folks that go to Vegas fairly regularly, and they come back and tell me stories, and I keep thinking, maybe God owes Sodom and Gomorrah apology or something.
Oh, I know. I've thought that every time I've went there, it's just like, that's exactly. It's like, okay, and God wiped out Sodom and Gomorrah, and look at this. It's like, wow.
Oh, man.
Well, I think it's where are we going to next now that we've solved that issue?
I mean, this is not the first time we've seen this all over the country, but did you guys catch ICE moved in and arrested I guess you would call him a recruit, a police recruit that was just getting ready to graduate from the New Orleans Police Department Police Academy. So he'd been through all of the training. He was getting ready to graduate, and the ICE moved in and said, "No, sorry, you're an illegal alien." You would think that
New Orleans
would have figured this out.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, what's the insanity of that? It's like, don't you think that you'd want to become a U.S. citizen before you do something like that? It's like, I jump through some of the hoops, and do you think that they're not going to find out? I mean,
well, the real insanity is, what in the world is New Orleans doing? They didn't verify this guy was a citizen. Cameroon.
You got to do a background check that would show up trying to buy a firearm. I mean, hello, it's like
You would think, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I guess I know enough to know somebody dropped the ball. They just don't care. I mean, I don't know. But the guys from Cameroon in Africa, which, I mean, I get it. He probably looks like folks in New Orleans. But regardless, you would think that he would I don't know. I mean, you would think that Social Security. I don't know.
Well, and he had an active deportation order on it too, with no green card. I mean, so this lends credence to the question of, do you like background check your guys at all? I mean, it sounds to me like when you're background checking a renter for a house, you probably do a better job than this. I mean, pretty much the most
you would think
basic.
You would think at any law enforcement agency worth its salt, I don't know, you may want to check the people applying for you for warrants. And I think a deportation order would probably show up for that. So I don't know. I don't know. That just I don't know. I don't like New Orleans.
Well,
this is one more reason not to.
One of the quotes that was in there that I was just like shaking my head about was the fact that they said, and it was a simple statement, that something like the New Orleans PD was stunned when they found out he was
stunned.
An illegal alien.
Yeah. Stunned.
Yeah, just stunned.
Yeah, I tell you when they were stunned is when the ICE guy showed up and knocked on the door and said, hey, we're here to get the Cameroonian guy. That was probably when they were stunned. What do you mean? And I don't know. That's crazy. I don't know. I don't like New Orleans. If I've never told you guys, I'll tell you now. There are two cities that I have been in the United States that I have thought I'm going to have to kill somebody before I leave the city. And New Orleans is one of them. The other one's Memphis, Tennessee. I don't like either one of those cities.
Those are two cities that I can't stand. Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't. I'd
go along with that. Yeah,
and I think Memphis, Tennessee is probably a little bit worse. At least the parts that I saw.
I do too. Yeah. Well. Yeah. And you know, when Trump said he was sending the National Guard to New Orleans and Memphis, I was kind of like, yeah, I can see it. I mean, why not? I have never been to Haiti. But I look at New Orleans and like Memphis, Tennessee is kind of like, that's kind of America's Port-au-Prince. That's like the Haiti of America. It's lawless and full of godless black people as far as I'm concerned. So speaking of which, did you see the Biden judge that, has blocked the Trump administration from deporting Haitians? And Trump was going to end the temporary protective status on the Haitians. If you remember going back and you remember they were eating the cats in Ohio and all that sort of stuff. And, and so they were under temporary protective status and the Trump administration said, we're going to end that. We don't really want them here anymore. And this, judge has stepped in and said, oh, sorry, executive branch. I know it's constitutional, but who cares about the Constitution anymore? We're not going to allow you to do that. So it is an indefinite pause, is what this. Oh, and get this. Her name is Reyes. The judge is named Reyes. And 350,000 Haitian migrants would have been deported. But this judge stepped in and said, nah, you can't do that.
350,000?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my goodness. That's a lot.
Yep.
That's a good size city.
Yes. That's as big as Fort Collins or bigger.
Oh, yeah, lots bigger. Dang.
Yeah. So we'll see how that plays out. I mean, I don't know how it will play out, but regardless is you got to stop and think about it one more time of what judge think – why is it law – the very – if you stop and really think about this, the very rule, if you want to look at it that way, is it's temporary protective status. Well, if it's temporary, that means it's coming to an end at some point. And the executive branch said, okay, it's now coming to an end. You have to go back. And this judge says, oh, no, you can't do that. And, I just, it, There are people that are completely different than us, and they're American citizens. So, I mean, this is truly a nation divided. For every one of us that looks at this and says, yeah, the Haitians got to go. You know, they probably shouldn't have come here in the first place, but they got to go now. For every one of us, there's somebody out there that says, no, no, we shouldn't send them back. You know, they're Americans now. They're here. And that's just crazy.
Well, and that was originally temporary.
Like, racially speaking, between, like, if you go back to the bloodlines, what is Haitians and, like, Somalis? Do they share some of the same DNA?
Both came from Africa. There were a lot of Africans that were brought into Haiti, and they mixed with some of the local Caribbean population, the islanders there. But there is elements of Africa in Haiti. Remember, Haiti is an interesting place because it shares an island with the Dominican Republic, and the Dominicans have held more to the Spanish that had come in and controlled that island at one time, where Haiti, they were on the right side of the island, they were controlled by the French. So a lot of the French influence is also in Somalia. I don't think people know that, but, you know, the French were very much involved in Ethiopia and Somalia at one time. Jason, I mean, if you look at the bloodline, there is definitely the African descent. But if you look at the colonial rule, the French were very involved in Haiti, as well as Somalia, Ethiopia, places like that in the deserts of Africa.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and they're both godless societies.
No kidding.
Yeah.
They tend to just they go on rampages as a traditional thing and just kill everybody. So and sometimes they eat them.
Well, we were talking about I'm going to take just a step back, but we were talking about the police, and I got a video from Derek, and I didn't watch it because I can't listen to it, but it shows that 7 Toronto police officers were arrested in a major organized crime investigation up there in Canada, and he said sent an interesting note yesterday. He spoke with a friend of his that was a police instructor for years but now works in the Toronto court system. He actually compares the Toronto police with the biker gangs. He said the same type of people that join these gangs join the police force, so it's no surprise. Yeah, wow.
Well, and there have been more than one arrested here for a situation just like this across the United States. They just don't all make it to the news. I mean,
agreed.
I think we talked about one here not too long back, and I can't remember, unfortunately, where it was at. But, so they're definitely trying to find their way into those positions of authority or of, you know, where they have some power to create change. I did just, you know, talking about the Haitians, you know, that was done in 2010. Obama did that TPS thing, and we had a similar deal with he was a Central American guy that they were sending back there, but they're trying to send back, and the Supreme Court finally got involved and basically said, no, this is the way it is. And this is going to the Supreme Court, too, and will probably be ruled. You know, they're probably going to get rid of Reyes's little opinion there. So,
agreed.
We'll see. Yeah. Just a timing issue.
You know, Jason, I know you, you've been around some Haitians, and unfortunately, I have too, and we were talking about Somalis, and we both agreed, you know, we have limited experience with Somalis, but after asking what you asked and talking about the Somalis and the comparison to the Haitians, I've made up my mind while we were talking just now, if the Somalis are like the Haitians, then they definitely don't have any business being in my country. They need to go too. Yeah.
Well, and just, excuse me, just last, a couple days ago, they had a Haitian truck driver, and I've seen a lot of Haitian truck drivers, but this guy, it was up here, and it was a local news, it was up in Green River, Wyoming, which isn't too far from me, And he was sentenced to 12 to 14 years in prison for vehicular homicide. And, you know, it's just like all these other camel jockeys that get in these semi-trucks and think that they know how to drive. It's like, how can these guys get a CDL? How can they get a driver's license? How can they get anything? But it's what's stupid is the wreck occurred in 22. It was like December 21st, 2022. And they're just now getting around to sentencing the guy. And, I mean, he's illegal. And, I mean, you name it. And it's like, but just been riding the court system. Got a public defender and all that kind of stuff. And, I mean, originally they issued him a $200 fine. It's just insanity.
Insanity.
For vehicular homicide. Wow. No kidding. Yeah.
Insanity. And it's something that we've said, Jason. You know, Tim has said it more than me, but you were just talking about a public defender. And, you know, those are rights afforded in the Constitution to American citizens. Why is this guy eligible for a public defender?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, he's not an American citizen. He shouldn't be afforded those rights. I mean, that's the whole idea of, like, consulates and embassies of if this guy's native country wants him to be defended, they pony the bill. You know, they provide that type of legal representation. But that never happens. You know, we use taxpayers' money to defend people that aren't taxpayers, that aren't American citizens, that have no right to even be in this country, but yet we're treating them on equal of our own people. And it goes back to what I was saying earlier in the show. We've got to start looking at these people for what they are. They are not our neighbors. These are things that we afford to our neighbors, our kinsmen, our people. The sense of fairness for an invader, there should be no fairness. There is no equality there. They have invaded our sovereign land, and we treat them as equals. They're not our equals. Treat them for what they are. And that is criminals and invaders who are hell-bent on our destruction, but yet we put on soft gloves and treat them like they're hothouse plants that can't be handled too roughly. And that's not a great deterrent for more of them to do exactly the same.
Yeah, even a trial costs money. I mean, why do they have
that's
no
right.
right to a trial? It's like deportation.
That's right.
You know, that fine? Who cares? Okay, no fine. You're out of here, dude. You don't belong here.
Yep.
You know, that's it's really simple. I mean, the odds are they don't have any money that you didn't give them anyways, so why take it out of one pocket and put it in the other? It's like, let's just get them out so it doesn't happen again, you know.
Yeah. Recently, I've heard that same thing, Tim, of, well, don't you want them to pay for their crime? You know, no, I don't want them to spend 30 years in the taxpayer role. I sure don't. No. I get them out of here. Deport them back to their native country.
Yeah. Well, and I don't know what the stats are in the prison system today, but, you know, illegals and non-citizens, I mean, the numbers are high. I do know that. I just don't know what they are off the top of my head.
So let me tell you this. ICE, this is something that should outrage everybody that's listening to this. And fact check me. I mean, you know, don't believe what I'm telling you. You know, read it with your own two eyes. But ICE, they have an internal policy, a rule. They will not deport one single convict until the satisfaction of their sentence is complete. So in the state of Texas, somewhere in the neighborhood of about 18 to 20%, this is, like I said, fact check me, of convicts in the Texas Department of Criminal Justice are illegal aliens. And ICE will not deport one single convict that is an illegal alien until their sentence is complete.
Wow. Huh. In the meantime, it's costing us money to house them, feed them, and do their medical care. So it's kind of the same thing as having them running around in public. Go ahead.
About $80,000 a year is what it costs per convict. And that's everything you just said, Tim, housing, medical care, whatever, about $80,000 a year conservatively. And I look at it as, why are we not deporting these convicts? And people are going to say, well, they're just going to come back, you know. And now, if it's a death penalty case or something like that, leave them here. Let's put them to death. Like, I'm fine with that. But if it's some guy that's serving a 10-year stretch for burglary or something, get him out of our country.
Yeah.
Send him. And if you really want to see if the executive branch wants to do it right, use the State Department to put pressure on those El Salvador or whatever country and say, if this person, we're going to hold you responsible if this person comes back to our country. You know, you right. need to make sure that this guy doesn't come back. And start holding those parent countries responsible. I think you will see illegal immigration go away. And in many instances, that's what's happening. But I don't want them here. I don't want them in our – I don't want my tax dollars paying – to keep an illegal alien criminal alive and fed and well medicated. I'm just not interested in that. Get him out of here.
Yeah.
This is a side note. I was just going to ask you if you knew, if you had an answer. I was talking yesterday with somebody that had been going down. They're working on a project down outside of Houston, the port area. And, well, we got a caller. Let's go to the phone lines. Hello, caller.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Hey, Kevin. How are you?
Hey, Kevin.
Oh. Hey, Will, Tim, Jason.
Hi, Kevin.
Morning.
Well, last Saturday we were at 16 below zero. We're up to about 10 today. So.
Heat wave.
What a heat wave.
Yeah. And Jason, what a wonderful prayer meeting it was Wednesday night. And I want to know if your leg's getting better.
It is. Today, I tell you what, I got up and got out of bed this morning, it was like, oh, I felt it was the first time where when I put my foot down, it was not that excruciating pain. It was, I got up and I put some weight on it and I thought, well, I'm going to live. So praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah, thanks for praying for me, too.
You're welcome.
Thank you. I have a prayer request for Hal Turner.
Okay.
The last two nights podcast, Thursday and Friday. Thursday, he went about 15, 20 minutes. His voice is giving out. And then last night, he only got on and talked for maybe 10 minutes. He could not talk. He really needs help. And the last things he was putting out last night is that electronic warfare is being established in Tehran. They're jamming all their radio, shortwave, and it's turned their airports into chaos. And the only escape route right now for people is to get to Armenia. So
really? That's interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, very, very interesting.
I'm sorry, Kevin, this is Will, but did you, I was mentioning earlier that there was this virtual embassy that's operated by the State Department. Did you see that Armenia was one of the countries that the United States was telling American citizens to flee to?
Yeah. Confirmed that, yeah.
Yep, for sure.
Well, and I got to tell you, and this is just a side note. I know we talked about Haitians and Syrians and all these other guys, but I have actually known a couple Armenians, and they were a good people. The ones that I knew, I knew two of them, and did some business with them. They were honest in their business dealings. They were just completely different. I mean, a lot of ways they look the same, but just completely different for some reason. I don't know why that is.
Yeah. Well, they're Persians, and it goes way back. Yeah. And then this morning, I got into researching about Somaliland, and it was established as a British protectorate in 1884. So that's kind of long history.
Huh.
And it got its independence from the United Kingdom in 1960, and they've had wars and so forth. And Haile Selassie, Ethiopia, the last king. He claimed ancestry back to Solomon. Did you know that?
I did not.
Yeah. He was finally overthrown in 74, and he was strangled. But it goes way back. And there's great news in Texas. You know about Dr. Chambers? Will?
Yeah, he's running for governor. Yep.
Yeah.
I've had the privilege of sitting down and eating supper with Pete Chambers. He's the real deal, and he's running for governor. I don't think he's going to make it, but man, I can't wait for him to be out on the campaign trail.
Yeah, he's asking for donations of $18.36.
Yep,
Alamo and all that. There's a few things. Pam Bondi came out this week. They arrested that Benghazi, what they call a criminal.
Right.
80-some years old now. And she's saying, look, if you commit a crime against the United States, we're going to hunt you down. We're going to arrest you. But they haven't hunted down Obama or Hillary, right?
It's true.
Yeah. Do you know about that Chambers was talking about Liberty County, where they've established that area, like 40,000 population since 23 people in
the illegal world. Aliens.
Yeah,
yep.
Illegal aliens. And he's saying it's a color revolution.
Yep.
Yeah, I really don't want to bring this up much about this super toilet bowl too much tomorrow. This week, J.D. Vance got booed at the Olympics. The Grammy Award was all, I don't know where it was, some Spanish or something like that. And the Super Bowl tomorrow, the halftime, will be in Spanish. Some Puerto Ricans coming up to perform. And they just want us, they want us to feel like we're not in our own country. So, I don't know. Then I got an experience that Pastor Peters talked about the treating doctors as God. I went to a chiropractor and a dentist last week, and in the chiropractor office, and they acted like, oh, we're getting in right away, da da da. And I sat in this room, filled out a paper for him, this and that. And it just kept going on and on and on. I think he ran through about 10 people. I could hear him talk. Da, da, da. They finally got to me. So, yeah, that's just saying, and the dentist was the same way, that, you know, you wait on me. You know, I'm a God. When I appear, you got me. And Pastor Peters compared it to Houdini, where he escaped wherever he was in. Then he'd go back at a crowd and wait for a long time, and suddenly he would appear. Pastor Peters had it down. He really did.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah. And then they really destroyed the precious metals this week. You know, going from like a silver, like a high of $119 down to $74. And I don't know how they're pulling that off. I really don't.
I don't either. They did some more Houdini stuff. That's for sure.
Yeah.
It was hijacked and it was rigged. That's for sure. I don't know exactly how they did it, but I know that the banks and the hedge funds, they went from on Friday morning, they had a position of about 15 million ounces. And by the end of the day, they had it on paper and it was over 60 million ounces. So they drove the price down and bought the paper up. And
I just want to chime in and say it's not a coincidence that, you know, what Kevin's talking about, Jason, that, you know, I know silver closed at what it closed at, $76, $77 an ounce. Isn't it amazing that the bottom dropped out of silver and gold, and the Dow Jones hit a new high of over 50,000. How does that work?
Yeah.
How does that work? Yeah. I've got a bag of silver I bought for like $4,000 about 1999. It was up to $84,000, and I think it's in the low 50s now. So it's dropped $30,000 or $40,000. And they just pulled out of its out of their hat, so...
It's good.
Your legs.
It's good old fashioned money magic.
Yeah, and Epstein is not dead. Ain't no way.
He didn't commit suicide. He's not dead. Yeah.
No, that Jew's over in Israel, man. He's there.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, well, they could carry your leg, and please say a prayer for Hal Turner.
Absolutely. We'll do it.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Thanks for calling. God bless.
Thanks, Kevin.
And it's as simple as that, 970-224-4203. We got about 18 minutes left of the program. Oh, that's what I was going to ask you. So I was talking with a guy, and he had just got back from Houston, and he had quit renting the cars down there and just been using – he used Lyft when he was down there. And he said every one of the Lyft drivers that he talked to, no, none of them spoke English. And they were all from Colombia. And,
wow.
And he said that – and he goes down there on a fairly regular basis. And he said this time he said it was just full of Colombians. And it was like lots of them. I didn't know if you knew anything – had any
– No, I don't. Okay. That's news to me, but
it was like the no English kind of Colombians, but and it was also he said that they'd been here. He got enough out of them to know that they'd been here for, you know, 3 or 4 years, almost all of them, but there was a shift on something.
Lyft is like Uber, right?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know. That's news to me. I mean, I'm not far from Houston, hour and a half, 2 hours. We haven't had a lot of Colombians in this area. We got regular old Mexicans, but lots of El Salvadorians and Central Americans, Nicaraguans and Hondurans. But I haven't seen too many Colombians.
Interesting.
Yeah. They can stay in Houston. I'm okay with that.
And how do you do something like that with no English capability? I mean, or, you know, it's like, yeah. So
what my experience with that was Uber, because I've experienced some foreign Uber drivers. It's all done on the app, man. It's just a GPS that tells you where to go pick somebody up, and you follow the map, and you don't have to speak too much English just to pick somebody up and take them to where they're going, which is scary.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, scary stuff. So
well, and they say that you can take the driver test in Spanish. Is that true?
I'm sure. Yeah, okay. I'm sure that's true. Yeah, yeah. The good news is, I guess your tip, you could just tell them you're not going to call ICE. I'm joking.
Even if you knew, they're probably really busy right now.
Yeah. But, you know, I'm just sitting here thinking, maybe that somebody should send an email to ICE and tell them to go to Houston and just dial up a Lyft. And when they come to pick them up, you could,
yeah,
you know, your final destination could just be the ICE processing center. Just drop me off here and you can stay with me.
Then check out the tow truck driver when he comes to get the car, too. Make sure he's...
Absolutely.
Legit. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a lot of those.
If we were up in Derek's neck of the woods in Canada, that's it. You could make a living deporting tow truck drivers.
Yeah, that's for sure. Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
I'd save a lot of chasing around, you know. Just make a phone call and have it come to you. Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
Yeah.
We don't have any of those problems here. But then again, I don't even know if we have Lyft or Uber. I don't think so around here. I think you're just stuck.
You're thumbing it.
Yeah,
I'm with you on it. The only lift we have around here is when I tell my kids to lift sacks of feed. That's
yeah.
Oh well.
Yeah. We don't even really have public transportation except for like maybe the county has one that goes out and gets them, you know, out in the country and brings them in. I don't know how that works. I've never played with it, but that's it.
I'll tell you, you know, and the other thing with Uber, you know, Uber in German means above. And I don't know where they came up with Uber as far as the name of that, but I, for one, every time I hear Uber, maybe it's just me, but a rallying cry of the Nazi party was Deutschland über alles, you know, Germany above all. And every time I think about Uber, I just think, I wonder if they're secretly Nazi somehow. Like, you know, why would you name your why would you name your company that? But whatever. Sorry. Kind of a weird Saturday for me, but that's what I think. So,
what about this? These checkpoints up in Minneapolis. Well, let's go to the phone lines. If I can push the right button. Hello, caller.
Hey, it's Andy out in North Carolina, fellas.
Hey, Andy.
Hey, Andy.
This is off the sub. Hey, how you doing? I was off the subject a little bit, but I was looking at a picture. I'm getting a little bit better. I'm at discernment. I've been praying for it. But there was a picture on Newsmax with a picture of Frey in the middle and the vice president and president on either side. I said, man, that guy does not look like our people for sure. I never really studied it. And then I said, man, he can really use a pair of whiskers. And I, sure enough, I looked it up. His mother was a Jew and his father converted to Judaism, and they're both ballet dancers. Professional ballet dancers.
Mm-hmm.
Now you can see how years ago they put these plants in all these cities. Years ago.
Yep.
That, I mean, they've been playing chess for a long time, and it's going to take God to get us out of this Red Sea predicament. And thank you, Will, for putting that, what you said before was straight on about all these enemies are here not because of them, because of us.
Yep.
They're just God always has these.
Amen.
He's always had them that we know war, and now we just need to learn how to fight back. God, and we have Pastor Peters gave us plenty of weapons, prayer. And I've been thinking about, too, I remember how, Jason, remember how we used to do the prayers based on Psalms, remember?
Yep,
I
do.
And correctory and yes. Prayers and stuff. I think we got to get back into that and start hammering these guys, because look what all our prayers did is how I was exposing people. My goodness.
Absolutely.
That's
right. 100%.
All right. You guys take care.
Thanks for calling, Andy.
Thanks for coffee time. It's great. Yeah. And that bottle last thing, I'm just reading on that. It's crazy.
God bless. We'll see ya.
You too. Take care. Bye.
Jason, I know we're going to talk about Minnesota, but what Andy just talked about with that mayor up there in Minneapolis, you know, and he is a Jew. We know that. But Andy just said something that I think most people don't know. Jacob Fry, the mayor there, is a transplant and a recent transplant. He's not from Minnesota. He's not from Minneapolis. He immigrated in, I think it was just 10 or 12 years ago. And how, I mean, you guys stop and think, it's a major city. You come in, even if it was 20 years ago, and you're able to ingratiate yourself quick enough that you become mayor of a major city in the United States. I think Andy used the right word. It seems like it's a plant to me.
I think it is too.
Yeah. So good point from Andy. I appreciate that call. These checkpoints, you know,
too, I had actually had printed something out, and it was Minneapolis Mayor Jacob Frey is Jewish by heritage, raised by a Jewish family, and identifies with Judaism. Converted his wife and everything. Full born.
Let's stop and think about this too, because I want to make sure I get this out here. This is a guy who regularly addresses the city of Minneapolis speaking Somali.
Wow.
Okay. So you got a East Coast Jew who comes to a major Midwest city, finds himself elected, and just happens to speak Somali? How many Jews, how many people do you know that aren't Somali that speak Somali?
I don't know any of them.
Yeah.
But But Jacob Frey is able to go to Minneapolis from the East Coast, and he just happens to speak Somali? Come on.
Oh, jeez, this sounds like a conspiracy.
Oh,
and he just happens to get elected. Yeah.
And he just happens to get elected. Oh, and it just so happens that all of these Somalis are allowed to vote, and, you know, whatever. I mean, it just is ridiculous. But yeah, he's a plant. Good point, Andy. Good point. All right, so I don't know if this could be a prepper tip of the week. Jason, it seems like something we've talked about a bunch, but if folks don't know what's going on in Minnesota, and it's not just Minnesota, too. It's happening in other places where these communists, these agitators, whatever you want to call them, they're setting up checkpoints. They're actually blocking intersections, and as people are coming through, they are, I guess, what would you say? Checking to make sure they're not ICE? I don't know what you would say. But the fact of the matter is the local police are allowing them to impede the flow of traffic. And I know Tim has talked about it. I've talked about it. Jason, you've talked about it, of just the situational awareness of avoiding those situations. If you are living in that area, stuff's happening in Milwaukee, it's happening in Chicago, it's happening in Minnesota, it's happening in Austin, Texas, gosh knows where else. Jason, I think you've experienced some of it with the blocking of streets recently and that sort of stuff. Do your best to avoid that. Yeah. Don't put yourself in that situation.
Well, okay, before we get to that, one question. So what I've seen, and I've read several articles on this, they're blocking the streets, they're using pallets, they're using whatever means necessary, and they're running the license plates. How do they have the technology or the access to be able to run people's license plates?
So my understanding is they're using the Signal app, which is a supposedly encrypted app. It's not encrypted. Let me back that up. It's probably encrypted for a true hacker to try to hack in, but Signal more than likely is linked to the Israeli government, and I've seen that. Initially, I thought it was just not true, but it probably did originate out of Tel Aviv, and it's made its way here into the United States. So we know now that the lieutenant governor of Minnesota has figured prominently in these Signal chat groups that are organizing these supposed protesters in Minnesota. So my answer, Jason, is I believe that they have been collecting the license plates of the supposed ICE agents and putting them in a database that's being disseminated through the Signal chat groups, that you are able to access this information. And I think there are people that are sitting behind computers that are maintaining these databases. And when these folks are getting stopped in the streets, I think they're entering it into the Signal chat group, and it's being checked against the database. And in real time, it's coming back into the hands of whoever these local communists are on the streets. I think that's how it's working.
Okay. Interesting.
Yep. Now, having said that, there's also at least some anecdotal evidence of people saying there are complicit there's complicit Minneapolis police officers and people within the police department that is also providing this information to these communists in the streets. And this is being done through the mayor of no one is looking down upon those people who do that. It may be getting funneled through the Signal app so that it's not easily tracked. But when you look at the list of what we've come to learn, there are elected politicians, there are appointed government officials that are all participating in these Signal chat groups. So, yeah, it doesn't stretch the imagination too much to believe that somebody is probably capable of doing so. And right, folks need to think, you know, it's not a dispatcher that they're calling on the radio anymore. All that stuff is the stuff of movies. Police officers are issued tablets and laptops that hook up through Wi-Fi and hotspots that are able to access these databases. And so you could have an off-duty cop that's a communist sitting at his apartment or his house in Minnesota and monitoring a signal chat group. And, you know, if these license plates or names are coming through, he could sit there remotely from a tablet and run those that information and send it back in real time. And my understanding is there's possibly a stand down order from the city of Minneapolis. Not a stand down order, but an order of we will look the other way if this is happening. You're not going to be in trouble.
Right. Wow. But, yeah, he was calling on the cops to stand against ICE not very long ago, you know, publicly. So
that's right.
That doesn't stretch. And the other thing that doesn't stretch the imagination is we just talked about the fact that down there in New Orleans, we had a bad actor trying to be a cop who had a warrant out or a deport order. So for every one they catch, how many got through? You know, so
sure.
Yeah. Are they there? Good possibility. Yeah. So,
it begs the question, how many Somali nationals are Minneapolis cops? I bet you a bunch.
Yeah.
Yep.
That wouldn't surprise me either. Okay, but I'm just thinking, somebody's out there and they're wearing a mask and they're stopping me in my vehicle from going down the street. That's a real good way to get shot.
Or run over.
Or run over or anything. I mean, somebody comes up to you and stands in front of the road and says, stop, and is going to impede my transportation.
Your freedom of travel. I mean, it wasn't too far long ago, Jason, that in this country we called those people bandits and highwaymen.
That's what,
and road agents. That,
Rob,
you know,
I mean,
you put a bandana. Yes, you put a bandana around your face and you block a road for whatever purpose. I mean, like I said, I guess no one's ever watched a Western before. Have we gotten that far away from America that we don't realize what's going on here? If I'm traveling down the highway and there's burning tires and pallets in the road and you're standing there in a mask, I'm with Tim. I might just shift it into low and try to drag you as far as I can.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I don't know.
Too long ago, we had a sheriff in Florida somewhere down there, and he was talking about the fact that, hey, if you block the street and they run over you, we're not prosecuting them. You know, I mean,
that's right.
Stay out of the road. So
that was Polk County, Florida, Sheriff Grady Judge. Yeah,
yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And on another note that kind of goes along with this, did you guys see where the Trump administration is going to draw down 700 law enforcement officers from Minnesota on Wednesday?
Did see that.
I did not. We're out of time, guys.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, darn.
Well, I know. Thanks for being here, guys. I really appreciate it. Thank you, Remnant. Join us for church tomorrow by going to www.scripturesforamerica.org. Till next week, guys.